Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that
we've been loyal
way back from the beginning. I trust the source for the news. Seven nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't women. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and Hallis in your ears. You.
Awesome. The Bears.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of 79th and Hallis. This is episode 288. We are getting closer and closer to the big 300. Don't think we're going to hit that this year. Even if we did win the Super Bowl, that's 12 more weeks of episodes. So don't think we're not going to hit that this season. But anyway, it's your boy Scott and Flo is here. Of course, you know to follow us on all social media platforms, F Archer, Scott, F Flo's, and Delini. All of the links to everything we do are in the subscription box. All if you want to listen to the podcast, Spotify, all that, YouTube, Patreon, whole deal is in the description box. So check all of that out, man. But we have got a big show on deck. I am trying to tweet out the link right now, man. But before I get into the actual big, you know, each topics, how are we feeling? After a massive week for the Bears, overtime win, comeback win over the Green Bay Packers, first home win against the Green Bay Packers in 7 weeks. I mean, 7 weeks, 7 years. I don't know why Joe dropped out of the call, but he dropped out of the call. So we're going to wait for him to come back in a minute. But first, Bears win over the Packers at home in 7 years for the second time in the calendar year of 2025. And also, playoff spot clinched. So, Joe, we lost you for a second, but how are you feeling?
I am feeling really odd, if that makes, you know, any sense. I've never covered the Bears when they were a good team. And as a fan my entire life, I think I remember two times that I thought the Bears were a good team. In 2005, I thought they were a dominant team that should have won a Super Bowl if they, you know, well, let's say could have won the Super Bowl. In 2018, I'm like, this is a fun team, and this is just the beginning of everything, but they're not ready yet. Here, before the game, I had a few tweets, you know, on my own page and on the 7th and Hallis page where I was like, I have no expectation yet because I don't have a barometer for this team. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're good at, what they can do. And now expectations are starting to creep in, and I'm like, okay, there, who is this team? And I said, like, expectations started to creep in, and I think I'm starting to figure out who this team is. I think I'm starting to come up with a coherent idea of who this team is in my mind, and, you know, in reality, who they are and what they can be. And right now, I'm like, man, this is fucking nuts. Like, it feels so odd. Several things are happening right now. There are people who are fans of the Bears that I've never seen talk about the Bears in the last 10 years, 2018. The funny thing is, I didn't even see as many folks in 2018. And 2018 was a fun ass year. You know what I mean? Matt Nagy's first year. The defense was good, right? If I'm correct, defense was good.
Defense was fantastic. If we had that 2018 defense, I'm already going to the Super Bowl, but I'd be staying longer for the actual game. Joe, we lost your camera here. We got some issues over there. But anyway,
I don't know what the fuck's happening. Sorry, it's just a new setup in my new place. So please forgive me all if I was going a little crazy. But yeah, man, it's like, so that defense was great. The offense, I never truly had faith in. I love players like Anthony Miller, Tariq Cohen. I'm like, man, they're fun. I forgot who was that tight end that we had that was good for a season. Came from Philly. I'm like, man, it was fun.
Trey Burton. Trey Burton and mysterious injury.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, it was a fun team. I don't know if I had faith that they would go farther. My thought is they would have beat Philly and probably lost in the next round. That would have been the divisional. But this team, I'm like, who the fuck are they? Like, is this are they a good team? And especially in the NFL season, where I mean everything is wide open. The Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes tore his ACL. Their backup, Gardner Minshew, tore his ACL. And now there's a brother quarterback. I don't even know who the hell he is. you go to the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills don't look convincing at all. Buffalo Bills were in the fucking a slugfest with the Cleveland Browns, the team the Bears just smoked. Lamar Jackson.
A game that they was up a decent amount too.
You know what I'm saying? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, I don't know if they'll make the playoffs. Like, it's so much is happening this year. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who's going to win. And then to throw a wrench into, like, the plan of a lot of the fan base. I don't know if you saw Orla's comment. A lot of the fan base didn't believe that Mitch was a guy in 18. We all believe that Caleb is that guy. Oh, not all of us, but yeah.
Yeah. I think even the people who liked Mitch, it was we hope he can get good. That's why right. 2019 was so hype. But it was a hope. We know now with Caleb. Right. That's why I think it's different. That's why right. I think and the offense was scoring points. It was, and even though I called this before everybody, and I'm gonna keep bringing it up every time, even though Matt Nagy is a cool dude, I called it in week 8. Yeah. I said this ain't it. So it was a different feeling because of that. But continue your point before I go.
And so my thought is like all these things have happened with the Bears. All you know, so much has changed, and there's much more consistency across the offense that we've never seen. And so my question is now. Funny thing is, I didn't know if that was an actual person or a freaking bot that just posted that. Anyway, no.
What's the difference nowadays? Honestly,
funny as hell. And so now I'm wondering to myself, like, man, I'm thinking to myself. Is this a good team? And I didn't have any Bears PTSD like when it was happening, when the Packers were up 16 to 3 or whatever it was. I was like, here we go. So this shit again. But I wasn't like, there was no 16-6. I wasn't like, you know, I didn't feel that. I just said, man, they're not ready yet, but they'll get there. It's clear that they can stop. And this funny thing is like, you know, we'll get into that later because I have something to say about Packers fans. Packers fans have a lot of goddamn nerve, but we'll talk about that later. But my overall opinion is right now, I'm like, I'm trying to let this feeling sink in of one, the Bears are back in the playoffs and the Bears are a good team. And I don't know how to feel at the moment. It's weird. Good weird, but just weird.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off that a little bit. First of all, my PTSD was bad on Saturday. You know, I was with you the whole day. It was bad. It was bad. I had a doubleheader of stress. The Arsenal game stressed me up. I was standing in front of Joe TV like a madman for the last 20 minutes of that match, yelling, kick that motherfucking ball, because they don't know how to protect it then. But that's a whole different podcast. I'm gonna do an Arsenal spinoff, 79th and N5. That's gonna be the name of that one. But I was just nervous, bro. Like, I'm talking about. I have never felt this type of nervousness in my 5 seasons of me covering a team. Like, all of my rational medium, it was gone. Even at the game, gone. I was not well, okay? And I think it was the moment, and more than anything, I just hate losing to the Green Bay Packers. I don't care. I don't care what our record is. I just don't like losing to them. Like, it boils my blood. Like, Joe, you know how you hate losing to the other team up north? I just can't accept losing to the Packers, even though we lose to them all the time. So that was that. And seeing the way the game was going, like, you were handling it better than me. I was just like, same old Bears. Like, it was full-blown crash out. If you were reading my Twitter feed while I was going, I was losing it. And even when they got the onside kick, I told Joe, I was like, I'm not falling for it. I was actually pissed. That I was like, just take me out of my misery. Why do y'all always do this to me? Just lose. But when that ball in the HMP is, when I seen that ball, like from the press box view, first on the Jade touchdown, it looked like the dumbest pass in the world until I actually watched the game highlight. Perfect ball. Perfect ball. I argue that touchdown was better than the DJ touchdown. Just with his head almost getting taken off, throwing it with his left, it was just perfect placement to Jade. But on the DJ ball, I seen it. I was like, oh, we going for it. But once I seen DJ hit that corner, I was like, he's catching it. That I said it. And then when he caught it, I was hoping that he held on to it. Not till he rolled over and I saw Jaquan and the defense fly onto the field. That I knew he caught it. At that moment, I blacked out. I don't remember anything else. I just remember that it was not a professional bone in that press box. The quietest of people were losing their minds. It was an out-of-body experience. Soldier Field felt like an earthquake. I lived in California for a decade. I know what earthquakes feel like. That was like a tier 5 earthquake. Like, it was shaking. And then the most best part about it, I heard 60,000 strong seeing Bear Down Chicago Bears front to back. It was amazing. And then yesterday, rooting for Aaron Rodgers, which I felt dirty. By the way, shout out to everybody who got my Stone Cold Steve Austin, Vince McMahon, WrestleMania 17 reference. I know how many of y'all grew up on the WWF, if you understood that reference. So shout out to y'all. And then I was like, God, they clinched the playoffs. Like you said, Joe, I don't really know how to accept it either because I was sleeping. I was in bed last night, and it hit me. And shout out to my boy Trav. Shout out to my boy Trav, one of the homies from Philly, because he had sent me a DM on IG, and I didn't read to this morning. But when I was in bed last night, it hit me. I was like, the Bears could actually win the Super Bowl this year. I know that sounds nuts, but just for the reasons that you just laid out, Joe, nothing about this NFL season makes sense. We've been watching this league for almost 30 years. Nothing about this season makes sense. Just even look at this weekend, that Seattle-LA game on Thursday, that two-point conversion, the game winner, Darnold playing like crap, majority of the game then winning, it don't make sense. That I had to say it, that flag for Detroit last night, they got screwed. But, they shouldn't have been in position anyway because it was like three bad flags before that. But
hell no, that was an incredible flag. It was the correct flag. The issue is, the biggest issue is like the fact that the ref announced it very weirdly. He was like, it was a touchdown. But I'm like, don't say that. The bigger thing is that he should have never been allowed to pitch the ball. Because once your forward progress stops, the play is over. His forward progress was 5 yards deep. Then he pitched it. It should have been over. Who caught the ball? Was it Amon-Ra who caught the ball?
It was Amon-Ra. I'm not talking about Amon-Ra. I'm talking about Goff, when Goff went in there for the touchdown.
Well, no, it's the same play. So there were several things wrong that happened. One, it was pass interference, clear as day. Two, he should have never been allowed to pitch the ball. Like, once you're forward progress, so once you go and then you move back enough, that's it. He moved back about 3-4 yards, then he pitched the ball. The play should have been over. Like, it should have been stopped dead and said, nope, play's over. So, like, they bogus for allowing that to happen. But it's one of those things where it's like, are you going to stop this play? I ain't stopping this play. That's how refs feel. Refs were like, we'll let it happen. But it was bullshit, for starters.
And they talked about it for, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I was yelling at the TV, like, making the decision. And I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers' face because, Aaron Rodgers, he always, like, he has a great football mind, which I can't stand him. He has a great football mind. Like, even on the fumble, I don't know if you saw the fumble that they had. He tried to snap the ball super quick because he knew it was a fumble. So when Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin were looking and they started walking on the field, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be them. But the Bears clinched the playoffs. But it's like, everything about the season don't make no sense. Like, you got Patrick Mahomes, even before he tore his ACL, the Chiefs were terrible. Like, the ACL ain't got nothing to do with how bad they was this year. Lamar Jackson has been terrible since, like, week 5. Like, the Bills have shown a little bit of life towards the end, but they still been not good. You got the Broncos, who have been getting away with murder week after week, and then trick off Trey of Wednesday Bills and knocked them out. So nothing about the season makes sense. That's why I was laying in my bed like, yo, they could actually win it. I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying don't pick them. I'm saying if in 6-7 weeks' time and there's a parade downtown, I would not be shocked. And then I was also thinking, I've always thought my entire life, what would that year be like, the year that the Bears win the Super Bowl? How funny would it be with a year like this? We have no Super Bowl aspirations. 40th year anniversary of the 85 team. 20th year, almost 19th year anniversary of the last time they went to the Super Bowl. That would be funny. But I was just sitting there thinking about that. And my guy Trav, who's an Eagles fan, he sent me a DM on IG and he was like, look, he said, I meant to tell Joe this. He said, but it's something about y'all team. He said, the pass rush ain't there yet. But he said, but there's something about y'all team that they have moments that reminded me of when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017. They had moments. So you never know. That's why I'm just glad they're in the tournament. And now the goal is, Ben Johnson said today, the first step has been completed. We clinched the playoffs. He said, next step, we want to get the number one to win the division so we can at least have one home game at the crib. And then he said third step is to get the number one seed. Now, for everybody wants to know what the odds are for both, to win a division, the Bears just need one more win or one more Packers loss. Now, the Bears will know their situation before they kick off on Sunday because the Packers play on Saturday, which might be a backup game, because it doesn't sound like Lamar's back is going to be good in time for him to play, and Jordan Love is very much in concussion protocol, and they say Malik Willis has an AC joint. So they're going to be on their third-string quarterback if Jordan Love doesn't pass concussion protocol, and we all know concussion isn't – the team don't get to pick that. That's on if he passes the test. So we don't know how bad the thing is. So that will be decided. But either way, I look at these next two games, you got to win them anyway because I want that number one seed. Because if you stay at second, you're going to have a rematch 9 times out of 10. If you get the second or third, you're going to have a rematch either against the Niners if you're the third seed. You can have a rematch against the Packers or the Lions if you're the second seed. Rematches in the NFL are tricky, especially in your division. I would prefer to be off and play the winner of the AFC South the playoff game. You know what I'm saying? Like, either them, like AFC South probably going to have to play the Rams or the Seahawks or whoever they play. And if they lose that game, I'll take my chances with the NFC West team coming to Chicago. That's what I want. Now, as we get into the actual game, I want you to start off with what you wanted to say about Packers fans. I think they'll sync up perfectly with the game.
So, several things that I think the Packers fans – have done that have bothered me dramatically. I mean, just terribly, is the fact that, one, they accuse the Packers of having a practice squad defense or practice squad team. No, you don't. You have your entire skill player group healthy. Not healthy is a strong word, but they were playing. You had your entire skill group playing. I think the Packers were missing an offensive lineman. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, Tom Frank, I think is his name. Yeah, I think it was a left tackle.
And so yes.
Tom Zach, that's his name, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, the Packers depth chart, and I'm seeing all of these players that they have here. Zach Thomas, who they were missing. Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Christian Ross, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Luke Musgrave, Rasheed Walker, Aaron Banks, Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, Zach Tom. Out of everybody I named, one person was out. Zach Tom, your right tackle. Your right tackle is not even your most important tackle. Your left tackle, the blind side, is the most important tackle. Now, I will say the backup, which was probably Darian Kinner, got blew the hell up by Montez Sweat on the last play. But that's one play. And it wasn't even fucking Jordan Love out there. And so you say, okay, we had Malik Willis out there. Malik Willis was playing better than Jordan Love. Am I stupid enough? Look me in my eyes. Am I stupid enough to say Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love? Fuck no. But Malik Willis, as we saw this year when Jordan Love went down a few games, is a very capable backup. I mean, it's the same thing I would say with Tyson Bagent. It's not like you were playing fucking – who was the backup
for that? Remember, he went 2-0 last year, too, at the beginning of the season.
You know, so it's not like – was Caleb Haney was the backup or he's a third stringer?
He was the backup. Then we went to the NFC Championship game, yeah.
It's not like you're playing someone like –
remember, Jay hurt in the first quarter of that game.
Right. You know, it's not like you're playing someone like who's just terrible. Caleb Haney was not a great backup, but whatever. And you had 6 points at halftime, dog. You had 3 shots at the red zone with Jordan Love.
Jordan Love was 0-3 in the red zone.
When did Malik Willis come in? Second quarter or third quarter?
He came in the second quarter. Remember, Jordan Love got knocked out second quarter, and remember after the halftime is when it was announced that he was out.
And so – Let's look at your defense. Rashawn Gary is your defense. Kobe Wooten, Carl Brooks, Kingsley, woof, Lord, Edrin Cooper, Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, Keyshawn Nixon, Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney, Carrington Valentine, Javon Bullitt. Your defensive backfield is amongst the best in the NFL. You're still a top 10 defense in the NFL. Right now, the people that you have who are your starters who are playing, you had Oliver Al, Devon White, and then you had Micah Parsons. And I'm not even sure if Oliver didn't even start. And so right now, I'm looking at your team. I'm saying you had Devon White. Devon White being out, you know, is definitely tough. And having him out with Micah Parsons is difficult. But you wouldn't be the only team who didn't have a pass rush. The Bears don't have a pass rush when healthy. So let's even the playing field. Your defense, which is good, still the Bears had plenty of times to score during that first game and could have scored during that first game. Your defensive backfield, which picked off Caleb Williams in that first game, was not able to do as much as they could that game. So to put you're playing our practice squad, no. If you had what the Bears had at one point, now think about this. You want to talk about practice squad. The Bears at one point were without both starting corners, their nickel, every linebacker. I mean, they didn't even have the backup. They didn't have Noah Sewell. So they were without Tremaine Evans, TJ Edwards, Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson. At one point, Tariq Stevenson.
Jalen didn't play that game.
I'm not talking about the Packers period. I'm talking about in the middle of the season. And also Noah Sewell.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
They had six players out on defense, six starters out on defense. And even I wouldn't be stupid enough to say you were playing a practice squad defense. What this is when you're so used to winning, you don't know how to gracefully lose. And that's what happens with the Packers fans. The truth is you lost. You lost. You should have gotten beaten by more than that. Like that's the thing.
Can I be honest? I think if Ben calls a better play on that first drive, we run them out of the building. I truly believe that. Because you know, I believe that play took the air, and we're gonna talk about that later in the pod. But I think that that play took the air out of it a little bit.
So when we're talking about that, I just want to say, like, you should feel privileged to know that you only lost by this amount of points because at this, you know, you got outplayed in a lot of fashion. Your running game was really solid. Our running game was better. Your wide receivers are solid, ours were better. And then Caleb Williams had to play without his two and his three wide receiver. The person who caught that game-time touchdown, Jadae Walker, was not on the active roster. What are you talking about, dog? Stop making excuses.
Practice and just squad.
Now, I saw a few Packers fans that say, this is you all Super Bowl. And somebody said, you saw a thing. He was like, absolutely. I was like, I feel you. I understand. Because think about it. When Michigan beat Ohio State that first year, I'm like, man, y'all lucky-ass niggas. You lucky we ain't have this, and third. And you know what the truth was? Michigan was a better team. We had the wide receivers. We had C.J. Stroud. We had Olave, Garrett Wilson. Was Garrett Wilson? Was that JSN? No, Garrett Wilson obviously was there. Olave, Garrett Wilson, JSN, Marvin Harrison Jr. We had all of those things and lost. You know why? Because they had an incredible defense with a few players who are in the NFL now. They had someone like Blake Corum, a running back, who was running all over the Buckeyes. The truth was they were just the better team. And it sucks to say, I get it. It sucks because you have to have a bit of honesty about yourself as a team. But the Packers and the way you all are constructed now, this is your ceiling, where you're going to go. You'll be that 9, 10, 11 win team, but you're not going to go farther than that because the biggest issue is you don't have great wide receivers and your quarterback goes like this. And right now you're witnessing Caleb Williams, who clearly has a higher ceiling than Jordan Love. Has he had as good a season as Jordan Love's first year? No. Do I think he's better than Jordan Love? Yes, I do.
Did you see the second year numbers? Very, very close. You know, in fact, tied in touchdowns now, tied in interceptions. I think Jordan Love has maybe 100 yards more than him. Right. And this is year one in an actual football season system for Caleb. This is year three.
Right.
For Jordan Love. Actually longer than that, because just because he wasn't playing didn't know that wasn't mean he wasn't practicing the system. He was backing up for Aaron Rodgers.
So I'm trying to land the plane with this, but my main point with this is you should learn to lose gracefully. You have a good chance to make the playoffs still. Hey, shoot, you might be playing the Bears again. And if you're gonna play the Bears again, I mean shoot, you can beat the Bears then. You can beat the Bears and have all the bragging rights. And I'll be like, damn, they won again. Bears ain't ready, but they'll be back next year. Just accept the loss and stop being such fucking lames, dog. I heard Packers reporters talking about some Caleb is the problem. Caleb hasn't developed. I'm like, he beat you. The reason that you all lost is because Caleb beat you. And it's okay. I don't understand why Packers fans have to resort to this level of, like, lamity. Lamity isn't even a word, but it's lame as hell. Just accept, bro, you lost. You lost to the team that was better that night, and you'll meet again. Because in the day, the Bears have had more injuries than you have had. The Bears have never had a good pass rush. The Bears have had to have a makeshift secondary. Our leading interception leader and turnover leader, Nashawn Wright, is not the starter. Like, that's the funny shit about all of it. It is Jalen Jones and Tariq Stevenson the starter. But the Bears have coaching and a culture that allows them to make the most of their players and opportunities. So just stop being a lame, bro. Just accept the loss. Stop saying, oh, we had these players out. Because in the NFL, especially when you're getting into the week 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, everybody's injured. Everybody's banged up. The Chiefs, you think the Chiefs would be 6-6 and would not be closer or be mathematically eliminated if Patrick Mahomes was still in? I think they have a better shot if he was. But at the same time, you don't have to be so defensive to the point that the Bears can't have their accomplishments. And I think part of it is what happens when you've been winning for so long, you don't know how to just say, damn, that sucks, and move on.
Speaking of the Chiefs, we got a little breaking news here. This is from Sam McDowell, sports columnist from the Kansas City Star, and it's confirmed by Yahoo Sports. The Chiefs have informed administrative officials that they will announce their move to the state of Kansas today, pending LCC approval. The team has been in Kansas City since 1963, so they'll be moving from Missouri to actual Kansas because of the stadium shit. So, interesting. But, yeah.
They're moving to Kansas City, Kansas.
I'm guessing, yeah.
Because obviously they're in Kansas City, Missouri, but Kansas City, Kansas. I thought there was. There is a Kansas City, Kansas, and I'm guessing that's where the Chiefs
are moving. I'm guessing they'll be moving, but I don't know.
But anyway, Kansas City, yeah. So, I mean, that funny thing is they're still going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll just be Chiefs,
but it's a different state.
Right.
How far is Kansas City, Kansas from Kansas City, Missouri is the real question.
I'm guessing like 5 hours. City, Missouri.
Now, that's a long-ass commute. Now, that's different.
Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri is 9 minutes.
Ah. Oh, that's it?
Downtown to just basic Kansas City limits is 9 minutes, so you're not really – losing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there's a subreddit from a couple years ago. Do Kansas City – okay, my roommate and I are debating this. Do locals consider Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas to be the same city despite the border? When talking to outsiders, Kansas City is the entire metro. It's easier. Like when I tell people I went to school in Chicago, I actually went to – like when I hear people – like here when I tell people I went to school in Chicago, I actually went to school in a suburb. But if Chicago, if I tell someone I went to school in Chicago, when I really went to school in Naperville, I'd never hear the end of it. Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's the metro area. They're not moving far at all.
I mean, but that's also like with the Bears moving to Indiana. Gary's across the damn street. Like –
yeah,
you can throw a rock and end up in Gary, Indiana.
That's like moving from Roscoe Village to Lincoln Park. Yeah. And so, you know, it's interesting. Somebody was getting on Freddie Gibbs, but bear in mind, he's from Indiana. I'm like, do you realize Gary is like 2 hours from Indianapolis?
I mean, he don't
and
care.
He's trying to get his shit. And literally, the borders of Chicago and Gary are this. So you could be on Gary, walk 1 foot over, and then you're in Chicago.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just something right now where I look at it like it's a stupid conversation. It doesn't matter where they play. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that's all that matters. But anyway, man, I agree with your points 100%. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the thing with Packer fans. The thing with Packer fans is this. Y'all got to stop acting like bitches. And my problem isn't really even the ones from Wisconsin. Because a lot of these people that they're not from Wisconsin.
Right.
And Chicago Packer fans are the absolute worst. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all are just losers because you couldn't. And I'm not saying that, oh, you got to stick with the Bears. If you couldn't deal with the loser the Bears went through, whatever. Don't go for the Packers. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here? But I look at it like this. Packer fans, they're used to the Bears winning the game. And we don't beat them for another 7-8 years.
Yeah.
This is back-to-back years where the series is split. Back-to-back years where the Bears could have won all four of these games.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning of last year. The Bears and Packers at Soldier Field. The Bears had that game won. They attempted a game-winning field goal, and it got blocked. It got tipped, remember? It got tipped, and the Packers won the game. And then the last week of the season, week 18, the Packers, the Bears beat them with the field goal with Cairo Santos. And I think Joe's internet froze. I'm trying to see. His internet definitely froze. But, you know, beat them with the, you know, the field goal with Cairo Santos at the end. And then this year, both games coming down to the final possession. You know, you got the game in Green Bay came down to fourth and five, fourth and six, something like that. Caleb had a pass. He could have got over to Cole Kmet instead and got intercepted. And then this week, overtime, game-winning throw to DJ Moore. It comes down to it ain't so much fun when a rabbit got the gun. Now, we got to put a little context into the Packers' domination over the Bears these last 30, 35 years. The last time that the Bears really had a stronghold on this rivalry was the golden years of the Bears, which is the 1980s. I call the 80s the golden era of the Bears in the Super Bowl era because obviously they won the Super Bowl in 85. They went to like three or four NFC championship games that decade, and they won the NFC Central, which is the NFC North, the NFL Central, NFC Central five times. So that is the golden era of the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl era. So if you look at it, you know, Lovey had a good two, 3 year, yeah, about, I'll say from the end of Brett Favre's career with the Packers until when Aaron Rodgers came out. So about a 4 year run that where the Bears dominated that that rivalry a little bit. But if you look at the 30 years, they've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two MVP quarterbacks, two Super Bowl champions, and Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Who have the Bears had in that 30 years? We could be here all day naming the amount of quarterbacks that the Bears have had. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I have to say you have to add context to it. We were always their homecoming game. It's just this simple. It didn't matter where it was at. It didn't matter if it was Chicago. It didn't matter if it was in Green Bay. But the situation is different now. It's an actual rivalry now because we're not bringing a pencil to a gunfight anymore. We got a gun as well. And I think this gun is a lot better than the gun that they've got over there in Green Bay. And I think we got Joe back now. We got to see. You're back. Can you hear us?
Yeah. I don't know if you all can hear me, but Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was looking, I was like, he's staring at his phone for a long time. And I was like, nah, this shit's right. Froze. But what I was saying before you came back on, I was saying that Packer fans are so used to the Bears being their homecoming game that, you know, I said, if you look at the 30, 35-year dominance that the Packers have had over the Bears, really, they've had two Hall of Fame Super Bowl champion quarterbacks. Both, I think, are in the top 10 quarterbacks of all time list. We can have a CVS receipt list of quarterbacks that the Bears have had that time. So they don't know what it's like right. for the Bears to be an actual rival. And now it's an actual rival as the last two seasons have shown. And some can argue that Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than Jordan Love. Now, I'm not going to say that 100% because obviously Jordan Love has played longer. Jordan Love has won a playoff game. But like you just said, Joe, even you can ask certain – Packer beat reporters, and the people who said that Caleb was weird wasn't Packer reporter. It was a ESPN Milwaukee radio heads. Like I would say that, you know, usual. Oh look, we have a Milwaukee fan in the comments. No, you cannot be worried about Giannis leaving your shit state too.
Anyway, no matter what's that reference to?
Saying that I cannot say that Caleb is better than Jordan Love. I can. I just did. Okay. But and also be worried about Giannis not leaving y'all too. Then y'all ain't gonna have nothing to watch basketball either. Anyway, and the Brewers suck. Anyway, like I was saying,
I mean, and you're a Wisconsin fucking football player. The last time you beat the Buckeyes,
and more importantly, you live in Wisconsin. I would rather lose and live in Chicago than do anything and be in Wisconsin. But that's besides the point. Anyway, what I was saying was it's a lot different when you bring a gun to a gunfight instead of a pencil. Okay, so that's it. Just stop crying. If y'all actually make the playoffs, you got a chance to get your lick back. You know what I'm saying? He beat Malik Willis twice. So I don't know your name, but riddle me this. Who did the Packers beat when they won their only Super Bowl in 2010 in Chicago in the NFC Championship game? Let's think about it for a minute. Was it Jay Cutler? Was it Jimmy Mann? No, it was Caleb Haney. Okay, get out of here. Anyway, like I was saying, we're not going to be entertaining Milwaukee people all day. I don't even know why you're watching this damn podcast. I actually don't know why I watched this podcast, because ain't nothing else to do in Green Bay. But go ahead,
John. I don't know why, you know. Obviously, this is a free country. You can do anything. You can join a broadcast. You can join a live podcast and make a comment. But often when we make these claims like, oh, you beat this person, we rarely look at our own selves, at our own system, our own environment, our own scenarios to see what we're, you know, how our argument holds up. She said, oh, he beat Malik Willis. And it's like, well, okay. The issue is that, well, if we're going to use your logic, you beat Caleb Haney to go to the Super Bowl and to win. But I wouldn't hold that against you because you still won the game. These are all professionals.
And two weeks ago, you beat the Bears without Roma Dunze, without Tremaine Edmonds, without Kyler Gordon, without Tremaine Edmonds. Did TJ Edwards play that game? Okay, and without somebody else is missing that game, Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
Does that win not count?
Right.
Help me out here.
So you can't, it just doesn't work in the NFL. Like, those arguments are great for Wisconsin football. You know what I mean? If Wisconsin football was going against my Buckeyes and we didn't have Julian Sand, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Lincoln Kleinholz, like, I'd be like, well, you beat them. Like, you ain't really, like, you beat a lot of three stars. Because it's unevenly matched. But in the NFL, man, this is, you have one of the best play callers in Matt LaFleur in the NFL. Like, funny thing is, my relationship with Bear Packers coaches is actually, like, I liked every Packers coach in the past couple of years. I like Mike McCarthy. I think Mark McCarthy ushered in the boldness that we see when we on fourth downs and beat before your own 50, we start going for it. I remember when he did a punt fake on like fourth and two from his own 30 against either the Bears or the Cowboys, and you all got it. So I had no problem with him. Matt LaFleur, it don't matter who's a quarterback. It's damn near plug and play, and he's going to get it done. So it don't really work. And then if we look at the individual performances in that game, Malik Willis did better than Jordan Love was doing. Is Jordan Love the more capable person? Sure.
And also, Packer fans was calling for Jordan Love here just like 3 weeks ago. So miss me with that. Y'all know who he is.
And so I just think you gotta just own it, bro. Own it. You all lost. And it's okay. Because again, you ain't out the playoffs. It's not like you can't come back and beat the Bears in a couple of weeks, but just be cool with the loss. Right now, if I'm doing career for career, who would I say is better? Jordan Love. Who would I think is more talented and is and will be the better quarterback or has had a better year? Caleb Williams. Right now, I think Jordan Love has two more touchdowns. Caleb has 23. Same amount of interceptions. But I believe that Caleb is the better player.
I mean, yeah, also, y'all got to understand this is a rivalry, too. Like, both teams going to talk. It is what it is, man. But anyway, actual game thoughts. I don't want to spend too much on this because we already been on here for almost 40 minutes. But I will just say this about the actual game. I will not let the wind blind me from the way they played. That shit is unacceptable. Okay? Yeah. Unacceptable. Ben chose the worst time to have his worst call game of the season. Like, right. that he called it. He called better game in the 52-21 blowout in week two. He just played a bad game. There was no reason Caleb should have been going into the fourth quarter with only 12 passing attempts. Like, and it wasn't like something where guys were just dropping balls and he just had no faith in the pass catchers. That would make sense. Even with the runs, there were no creative runs. Obviously, we could tell that DeAndre Swift was a little slowed down with that groin injury because we saw a lot more Kyle Manunga in the second half than we did of DeAndre Swift. But I would say this, they got a lot of stuff to clean up. They got a lot of stuff to clean up against a good team in San Francisco this week. I do believe San Francisco can be had because of all of the injuries they have this year. So no Fred Warner, no Nick Bosa. That's going to help. That's going to be a test for them defensively. It's been a test for them all season defensively. And they let the Tennessee Titans put up 28 points like 2 weeks ago. So that defense can be had. Brock Purdy. I've never been a Brock Purdy fan. Brock Purdy is hot and cold this year. I will argue that Mac Jones has been a quarterback, better quarterback than Brock Purdy this year. Like, he's been off and on. But regardless, Kyle Shanahan, a.k.a. Kendall Roy from Succession, is an amazing play caller. And he, honestly, I think he probably should be coach of the year with all the amount of injuries he's had, and they still booked the playoff spot and still have a mathematical chance to be the number one seed. So you got to play better against Kyle Shanahan and that team in a building that you don't play that well in. Historically, the Bears do not play good in San Francisco. I don't care if it's Candlestick Park. I don't care if it's Levi Stadium. They didn't play well when it was the 85 team. They just don't play well in San Francisco. The Bears are the reason that Colin Kaepernick has a career. Y'all might not remember that Monday Night Football game in 2012. I do. Okay. But it was like undrafted quarterback Colin Kaepernick making his debut, and he ran the Bears all up and down the field before they went to the Super Bowl that year. They actually went to the Super Bowl that year. So you got to come correct. You got to come correct against Detroit, because there's a good chance that you're going to be facing one of these three teams again in the first round of playoffs, whether it's San Francisco, whether it's Detroit, and whether it's Green Bay. And now Green Bay is extra pissed off. They're going to come with it too. So you have to play better. So I thought win was obviously good. You put yourself in the driver's seat. You beat the Packers at home for the first time in 7 years, and now you got a chance to win the division. With that kind of play, you're going to be out in the first round. You keep playing like that.
Yeah, I know I had a conversation with Mikey, and we were talking about who would you prefer to play if you're the Bears, the Lions 2 weeks in a row, or the Packers. And I said, give me the Packers. Because you don't want to play your one of your rivals in your same division in back-to-back years, back-to-back weeks. It's just a recipe for losing. It just doesn't good. You want to have some space in between, because what ends up happening is you play the back-to-back weeks, you get to refine your game plan a bit more, and a team that is refined and is a machine as the Lions are, it gets more difficult. And so right now, I would think to myself, if I wanted to play any of those teams, I would want to play the Green Bay Packers again. When we're going back to the Bears' performance against the Packers in the second game, they did not play well. And if this is what they bring to the playoffs, yeah, they'll be out in the first round. It all goes back to my original sentiment. I don't think the Bears are ready just yet to be that contender. I think that's going to take some more time. And if I had to guess, they would win one playoff game before they would lose. Because the biggest issue is, how can you successfully win a Super Bowl without a pass rush? Now, I understand if I think about this philosophically, rationally. I think about it rationally and I'd be reasonable. I'm sure we can go down the line and find one team that won a Super Bowl with a so-so pass rush. You know what I mean? But I do not think, like, if
yeah,
I don't
this
know
what pass rush ain't even so-so. This is bad.
You know, I'm thinking about in the history of the NFL, I don't know one that has won with a bad pass rush. Can you think of one, Scott?
A bad one? No, I can think of there's been some who won with okay pass rushes. Over the last couple years, you had to have a really good pass rush to win.
Right now, the Bears are 21st in the league in pass rushing. The only other teams that are below us and that are good are the Patriots, the Jaguars, the 49ers, and the Panthers. 49ers have 16 sacks on the year.
Yeah. But even the 49ers get a pass because all their top defensive players are hurt.
No, we're not talking about really good pass. We're just talking about pass rush in general. So, like, the only teams on here, it's like, wow, they don't have that are the Patriots and the Jaguars, who are division leaders. And so when you look at the top of the league, you have the Broncos, you have the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Chargers, the Lions. And so I say all that to say that I find it hard to think that the Bears can win it all if they don't have a good pass rush. The pass rush is very consistent.
Which I want to pick up. Judon already signed with the Bills last week.
Yeah. So that dream is over. But would I want that? Would I have wanted to? Sure. You know,
it's an improvement. It wouldn't have hurt. Obviously, the CJ Gardner-Johnson thing impacted. So, but obviously, he wanted to go to Buffalo. I mean, but even naming all those playoff teams, like, you know, the Niners is on that list, mainly because Nick Bosa's hurt. But that's the team you're going to be going up against. So that's also why, even though their pass rush is stupid, I mean, it's bad, and you can't think of any team that have won with it. This is the weird year. This is a weird year. That might be that one year, you know, where that happens, man. But I want to take this one thing from the game. This is, I was going to do this after the Caleb topic, but I feel like it ties into this game. It don't feel like it does. Ben Johnson's play call and on that first drive of the game. Now, I saw a couple people saying, oh, y'all always be out on Ben when he make up a bad play call. I think Bears fans have this thing where when we get a new shiny toy, a.k.a. a new coach, we're scared to criticize him. And I just don't agree with that. If you call a shit play, I'm going to call it out. I obviously love Ben Johnson. I think he's a phenomenal play caller. Much better of a play caller with being the head coach in year one than I expected him to be. I thought it might take till year two. Having said that, I have no problem with being aggressive. This is who Ben Johnson is. But I think there's a time and a place for everything. I don't feel like that was a time or a place. That's a play I pull out when I'm at least up a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? Not when you're going against your division rival. There's so much on the line. You're at first. You're running them down. You're mowing them down. They had no answers for the run that entire drive. You have 1 yard. And then if you're going to do a high snap, don't do it to a short running back. Kyle Manunga is not maybe an inch or two taller than me. Like, he ain't tall. So that's too high of a snap. So, but my question for you is, do you think that Bears fans, we're just going to have to get over that and accept the, I don't want to call it the bad, but the bad that comes with the good also of Ben Johnson. And sometimes you're just going to be like, fuck it. And it might not pan out well.
Yeah, I think you absolutely have to, because at the end of the day, no play caller is perfect. No play caller is going to get their assumptions on what the defense can run. Sorry, my screen is sort of just tweaking right now. You won't have one play caller who's going to get everything.
And my screen is shaking because there's a train who's just driving by.
You won't get a play caller who will have all of those things correct, because nobody's perfect. And you're going to find coaches who are going to do things differently. You're going to find them who might have more rhythm. And more than anything, it's just something you have to accept as a fan. I mean, you're a fan. You're not making the decisions of a coach. But at the same time, you do have to think to yourself, like, man, what else can I do but live with it? On a more practical note, he is a young play caller, and he is a first-year head coach. He does not have Dan Campbell with him who maybe can help them go over what plays they're going to use. Okay, now let's do this play. Let's try something else. He has to make those decisions on his own. And that is a bit more difficult to do. And so I give him leeway and some grace because this is his first year having command over all of those things.
Yeah, big shout to everybody in the chat. Big shout to everybody watching. Bobby Thompson says, bear down, fellas. Was able to hop on for a bit. I'm going to shout to you, man, for hopping on back. Big shout to everybody in the chat. But, yeah, I think me personally, I don't have a problem with going for it on fourth down. I don't have a problem with risky plays. I know that's what comes with it. And, you know, everybody was like, you know, the funniest thing about Ben Johnson since he's been here, everybody thought he was like this offensive nerd, the opposite of Dan Campbell. No, this nigga's Dan Campbell. he's a better play caller than Dan Campbell. That is, and less meatheadish. That is it. Like, Ben is, he's petty. He's a psycho. All the things you need in your head coach. But I just like time and the place. And I just don't think that was the time and the place, man. But anyway, let's talk about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is, you know, Dice-man. That's his nickname now. It was a nickname that his teammates gave him early in the season. You know what I'm saying? And now the NFL is taking notice. The NFL is calling him Iceman on every post. That's his name. So the Iceman has another comeback, his sixth comeback this season. He ties Peyton Manning for the most comebacks by a player under the age of 25 in NFL history. So that's remarkable company to be in with Peyton Manning. The national media is starting to come around. Like, I feel like here in Chicago, even the naysayers or the people who are Team Justin, I saw somebody on TikTok. So I need to apologize to my fellow Bears fans. I was pro Justin. I was team the Hall. He said, I've accepted that Caleb is one. So I feel like for the most part, there's still a couple idiots out there, but for the most part, the city and the fan base understand that Caleb is the one. This weekend, you started to see national people, you know, come to it. Even Emmanuel Acho, who was saying all them crazy things about Caleb Williams, came around. this kind of what you said last week, Joe. I was like, I feel like, you know, the, you know, people hate Caleb. You was like, he just got to play well. People will give him his credit. And that's what we saw this weekend.
No, that's the truth, is that you only shut up. There will always be naysayers and always be people who have a difference of opinion or agenda. And I say that because it was really proven to me this week when some dude, one, I'm going to get a disclaimer that I'm even saying this person's name. But there was a clip of Jason, Search Cloud Show, I was on y'all last. There was a clip of Jason Whitlock's, I have no clue what's going on with my freaking webcam. But there was a clip of Jason Whitlock, who was, had some guests on. There's some dude named Coach Tom Brown or some shit like that. And he had the audacity to say Lamar Jackson has not improved at all since Louisville. I was like, what? He can't read the defense. He can't make changes at the line. I was like, this is a two-time NFL MVP. Should have been three-time NFL MVP. But because you have such a fucking axe to grind, you don't care about the reality. You're going to make up whatever scenario you had in your head. You could have seen one play where Lamar didn't guess the defense right and then got maybe picked off, or he got a sack. And you're going to say that's enough for you to have an agenda. And it was the craziest fucking thing that even someone like Jason Whitlock was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And that's why I further cemented and realized my belief that people are going to find a way to shit on you and talk about you regardless. And no matter if Caleb Williams is throwing 50 touchdowns a year, someone will find a way to do that. So you just got to move on and say, okay, that's what you believe. Cool. Because at the end of the day, you have a chance to shut up some haters, but you'll never be able to shut up all of them. And so Caleb can let his play speak, and fans can say, well, look at the stats. Look at what he's done. And that's all that should matter, because at the end of the day, if you try to convince a fool otherwise, you just become a bigger fool.
100%. It says, salute to Chicago. I was on y'all ass last year. I don't know who the fuck you are, so that comment means nothing to me. Moving on to you were talking about who is the team. Like, who are the Bears? The Bears are a good team. My question is, who's this defense? Yeah. I have no idea. It's been 16 weeks. It's been 15 games. I don't know who they are. I think opportunistic is probably the best way to describe this team. Because remember when we left the game on Saturday, I think me and you both had different opinions on the defense, because you were like, man, D.A. called an amazing game. And I was like, I thought he was calling shit. I hated the soft coverage. I personally felt it was a terrible game with D.A., but at the same token, they gave up 16 points the entire game. You know, going into the fourth quarter, what was it? What was the score? Like 10-3? I don't even remember what the score was. Something like that. It was very low score. But it's like they find a way to get takeaways. They got one takeaway. It was one takeaway. They got a fumble. But it's like, I don't even want to call them bend but don't break. I don't know what to describe. Who do you think this defense is?
Bend but don't break, I would say. Gordon has missed more than I thought. CJ is great. Oh, he's fucking terrible in coverage. He's like,
CJ, they got burnt a couple times too, but you know what happens.
No, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about CJ.
Oh, okay. Oh, I get what you said. I read that wrong.
There we go. That's all I have it the right way. They are an opportunistic defense. They are very consistent in getting turnovers. If you do not hold the ball on tightly, they're going to force a fumble. If you miss a pass by a couple of inches, they're going to pick that off. That's what they do. That's truly what they do. And also, they are a very poised defense. They do not let a single score get them so mad that they can't get back on play the next. They can't get back and try to get a comeback on, or try to get a turnover the next play. This was a team that was down to the Packers the vast majority of the game, and it did not stop them from playing hard and getting hyped. Bears in the past, if they would have missed that, like they did this first game, you know, this second game against the Packers when they missed that touchdown on that, was it fourth and goal, third and goal, whatever it was. If they would, because it was the snap to Manunga that was too high. If they would have missed that, they probably would have never scored the rest of the game. That's how previous Bears teams have. This Bears team, because the coaching and culture is very good, they know how to come back. They know how to not get so down. And I don't think So I think that speaks to the identity. They are opportunistic, elite in the red zone, and poised. They will not let any of those things bring them down. And if you slip for a second, they're going to make you pay. When the defense needed turnovers, man, they fucking did it constantly. And like even when Malik Willis fumbles the snap, and I don't know who number 23, the running back was, picks it up. If you don't have defenders,
he was getting first downs.
I know. If you don't have players who are going, oh shit, let me get him. Like, oh shit, like help make sure he doesn't get a first down. But this thing is, Malik Willis could have fumbled it, but if nobody tried to get the running back who was going towards the ball or who was going towards the ball, he could have got a first down still. But they're like, no, what we have to, I have to get to my man, and they're disciplined. They're disciplined.
Said Commander's fan. Oh, I do remember you. Shout out, I forgot you was in our chat last year, going back and forth with me and Bang. Oh yeah, shout out to you, man. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. It's the weirdest defense I've seen in my life. Regardless what happens this season, and I don't care if that means a Lombardi Trophy, I don't want to see a lot of these dudes next year. I think Ryan Poles, you know 100% what your job is, brother. You know, the further this team goes, the more chips I want to put on the table for Myles Garrett or Max Crosby. Okay.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to play in those waters. No disrespect to Trey Hendrickson. I like Trey Hendrickson. If the Bears got Trey Hendrickson, I'm cool with it. But I think this team has shown you that no matter what happens this season, it's time to play in the Myles Garrett, Max Crosby waters. Okay.
Yeah.
And you rebuild this entire, I don't like said, like Bobby said, top three picks, all defensive line, all your money, defensive line. Okay. Linebacking core is strong. We got depth. Secondary is the heart of this defense. You got to rebuild that whole D-line, okay? Because next year, we can't rely on the amount of turnovers we got this year. So, that's why I say that. Final topic today, the Bears have a chance at the one seed. So, in order to get the one seed, in fact, the Bears have an opportunity to go into the last week of the season as number one seed if these two things happen. If the Bears beat the San Francisco 49ers, and if the Seattle Seahawks lose to the Carolina Panthers in Carolina, that is how they will be going into Week 18 as number one seed. Now, to just get the number one seed in general, the Bears have to go 2-0 in their final two, so they have to beat San Francisco in San Francisco or in Santa Clara, and then they have to beat Detroit at home. And the Seahawks, all the Seahawks got to do is lose one game over the final two. So they play Carolina this week on the road, and then they go to San Francisco next weekend. That's probably going to be maybe for the division, I'm guessing, against right. The Niners. So that's easy. You can do that. You know what I'm saying? Not say it's easy, but it's achievable. And that's what Ben Johnson said today. I don't want a rematch with anybody. I'm going to be 100% real with you. I don't want a rematch with an experienced team that has been to Super Bowls, like two Super Bowls over the last 6-7 years in the San Francisco 49ers. Said Flo, I don't know if I missed a college sports day, but my Canes here, but
Bobby, I know it's, you said you were hop on the bid during lunch. I don't know if you're still in lunch, but Scott, you mind if I just briefly touch on this? Once I want to say, Bobby, man, congrats to your fucking Canes, dog, because one,
you being nice first.
Oh no, remember you're not Michigan, so I'm not finna shit on you. But congrats to your Canes. I mean, for me, the Canes are like the Cowboys. I always like to see them be good. Because I just think it's better for the NFL, just because the Cowboys fans and Miami Hurricanes fans have such a fun culture. You all got an uphill battle. You got an uphill battle. You're going against the best one or two.
To say the least.
You know, you're going against one of the two best teams remaining in college football. The Buckeyes were a fourth down conversion, a field goal away from beating Indiana. Like, that's how fucking crazy that game was. And or tying Indiana. And so you all are going against – I truly believe we're the best team in America. You all got one of the best freshman running backs in the game. We got one of the best freshman running backs in the game. It's going to be fun. If I had a prediction, I would probably say 30-20 Buckeyes. I'm not so – like, I've been a Buckeyes fan my whole life, and so I know when I get too cocky, that's when shit goes wrong. Like, I thought the year Michigan won their natty was the year the Buckeyes were going to fucking win it all. We did not. Matter of fact, no, I take it back. I think it was the year before. What's the year CJ Stroud went against Georgia? We missed a field goal. Either it was to win it or to tie it, and then Georgia won. Whatever year that was, I thought the Buckeyes were going to do that, and we fucking didn't. So I've learned, and then over the years, back in the day, when the Buckeyes would just smoke everybody in their schedule and then get absolutely steamrolled by the SEC. So I'm not stupid enough to think that the Buckeyes are going to steamroll Miami. No. It's a college football playoff. You all have an opportunistic defender. So I don't know. We shall see. But good luck to you, bro. College football playoff is not a college football playoff to me is incredible. I know a lot of people have some shit with it, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Said, right. I keep forgetting the infamous, what was it, a fourth down in 2002, Scott? The Buckeyes got away with that one. When we played Miami in the two members, was 2001 or 2002? We got away.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
I think it was a fourth down call or something that happened that I couldn't remember. I was like 10, 11 years old. And I was just looking at my cousins like, what happened? And they were like, we should have got away with it. So yeah, 23 years later, man, shit's fun. But anywho, Scott, I'm sorry. I just had to do a little
bit. No, go ahead. Touching up on. Said, I hope we, oh, okay. I hope we play the Eagles in playoffs. Get rid of double doink. Look, man, do not bark up that tree. That tree will fall on you. I want no parts of the defending champion. I'm sorry. No, I want no parts of them again. Okay, they already won the division, so the only way we would play them is if we drop to the wild card. So that means you got to go back to Philadelphia.
Right.
I'm straight on that. But like I was saying about the one seed, I don't want
the PI. Holy shit! PI. Right.
Terrible call. God awful call.
Terrible call.
Like I was saying, so I want the number one seed because I want no parts of rematches. I don't want to play an experienced team like San Francisco for the second time. I don't want to play the Lions or the Packers for the second time because it's a division rival. And the third matchup in division rival, you might as well just put stupid finish alert on it right now. I have no idea who will win those games. But especially with the four games that we've had against the Packers, have all gone under the wire, this one. But I don't want no parts of either one of those. I don't care if we are at home. Give me the number one seed. So we ain't got to play wild card weekend. It gives Rome more time to get healthy, Kyler more time to get healthy, Luther more time to get healthy if he needs it, and then we can play the winner of the 4-5 matchup, which would be the AFC, which would be the NFC South, and the person who in the team that didn't win the NFC West, so probably the Rams or the Seahawks or something. That's what I would prefer.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Bears' chances to get the number one seed, and you know how you feel about potential playoff matchups?
So, come to Winterfell, give us number one seed. Hell yeah. The Bears were the number one seed, man. That's where the Bears go to. They start becoming a favorite in my eye. So, give me our – you know better than me, Scott. If you don't know Scott, Scott has a goddamn near photographic memory. And it's like Scott can look at a screen one time and go, all right, I remember. I don't remember shit if I look at it 10 times. So what's the scenario? Like, who what are we – if we're number one, who would we face if we don't?
If we're number one, we play the lowest seed remaining in the second round. So it very much could still be Green Bay. Let's be very clear about that. So if – I'm going to put it like this. This would be a scenario we would still see Green Bay regardless. So let's just say Green Bay gets the seventh seed, right, we get the first. And let's just say Seattle wins the West, but that is set 2 seed. So that means that Green Bay would travel to Seattle. I don't know about you. I think the Green Bay Packers can beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's some
shit like when Jordan Love, didn't he go to Dallas and just like absolutely smoke the Cowboys?
Smoked them.
Absolutely.
Him and Aaron Jones smoked them. So if they beat, so if that 7 seed beats the upsets the 2 seed, then the Bears will play because they're the lowest remaining seed. Now, if Sam Darnold actually takes care of his business and beats the Packers, we will play the winner of the 4-5 seed game, which will be the AFC South champion. NFC South champion, which will either be Tampa or Carolina, taking on the 5th seed. The 5th seed could be any of the NFC West teams. So, who didn't win a division?
I would take
my chances with NFC West team coming to the call.
Oh, easily take my chances. It's funny. The only, now this is where college football's PTSD comes in. I've seen Bryce Young did Bryce Young beat us in the national championship when he smoked Jordan Justin Fields?
Yes.
Was that Bryce Young?
That was Bryce Young.
That was Bryce Young.
Oh, absolutely fucking hold us. And then I thought Bryce Young was like the greatest college QB I've ever seen at that point. Yeah, I'd rather play the NFC. NFC West or NFC South?
It would be NFC South versus NFC West in a 4-5 matchup. So
I would rather
I'd
rather play one of them. I do not want, if I had it my way, I would not want to play the Lions or the Packers again. Not because I'm scared of them as a team. It's just that, man, when you play your divisional opponent three times in a fucking year, dog, anything can happen. And I don't want that to happen. I feel much more confident against NFC South or West team. So
yeah, the NFL playoffs, in which I feel is going to be the most chaotic postseason of all time. Right. So anything can happen with any of these matchups. I'm just saying, if I had my choice, give me number one seed, give me the week off, and make people have to come to Chicago.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Now, let's be sure. If the Bears get the number two seed, there's still a good chance that everybody have to run through Chicago if the Seahawks get knocked out as number one seed, which I think is still very possible. Because like Bobby just said, I want Sam Darnold out of every other QB I've seen win a big game. Now, me and the homie Mikey had a conversation, which NFC North team would you rather see again, the Lions or the Packers? And I told Mikey, give me the pill that says Jared Goff and Dan Campbell's reading glasses. That's the pill I would rather take, okay?
Fuck no. Me and Mikey literally Mikey's one of the most funny people I fucking know. But he texted me at 6 p.m. and said, let me see if you have some sense to you. Seventh seed, who would you rather play? Green Bay.
He only said that because I told him Lions.
Yeah, no, he mentioned you. He said Green Bay for a third time in a month of Detroit in back-to-back weeks. I put Green Bay for a third time. He said, no, he said Wild Card Weekend of Soldier. I said Green Bay for a third time. He said, always knew you were the smarter Lewis brother. And I said, he said your brother tweaking. He can't keep saying Detroit. I said, I get his point. His point is that he's dependent upon Jared Goff and Dan Campbell doing some tweaking shit, which they can absolutely do some tweaking shit. I just think personally, off principle, back-to-back teams just ain't a smart move. You want some space.
And so you think we match up better with Green Bay than we do with...
Oh, you fucking kidding me? One of the biggest issues with Green Bay is that Jameson Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs can run like fucking 4.2s. I hate
against our slow secondary. That's a good point.
Nigga, you just saw Romeo Doubs was doing the fucking C.J. Gardner-Johnson. What do you think Jameson Williams is going to do? He's going to be 20 yards upfield. I don't want that. I think the biggest thing, like the biggest strength of the Lions, at least in past years, was the fact that their running game is going to smoke you with their two-headed dragon.
Jahmyr Gibbs FC is the
choice. Right, Demo and Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, of course, it's just Jahmyr FC. And the thing with Jahmyr Gibbs is that he is so fucking difficult to tackle. You think because he's tiny, it's just because he's fat. For me, he reminds me of Chris Johnson with a little more strength. Chris Johnson was just going to get around you. Jahmyr Gibbs can out-juke you, get around you, and he might run through you if you let him. And I that's the thing that I just hate. And then Jameson Williams, though he's never going to be a consistent 1,000-yard receiver because he's just a tweak, brother, if he gets space, he's going to take off. And I don't think the Bears have the speed. And so give me Jaden Reed from Naperville, who thinks he's from Chicago, Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, and tweak off Jordan Love any day of the week. Jared Goff is certainly loves to throw a couple picks here and now, but Jared Goff, for the most part, hasn't been a tweak off in almost his entire time with Detroit. The nigga has 32 touchdowns this year? God.
Sorry.
32 touchdowns, 4,000 yards passing, 5 interceptions. Give me the Green Bay Packers.
Bro, he almost threw 4 of them yesterday. They said the Steelers had drops.
I'm surprised they ain't, I ain't heard a random fan say, put him in as Matthew Stafford has 40 touchdowns and 5 picks. Jesus MVP. Have mercy. MVP very easily.
They might give it to Drake May if the Rams stay at 5 seed. I think that's going to be important to watch.
Nah, Drake May just ain't got the stuff. But you know what, bro? I realize, Scott. I take that back. I take that back. Because last year, we watched a nigga throw like 25 touchdowns and beat out
You're never going to get over that, are you?
It was the worst MVP announcement I've ever seen in my fucking life. It just was bullshit. You cannot tell me that what is that nigga's name? Josh Allen was a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson last year. Lamar Jackson, who that idiot coach said has not changed, had one of the most impressive years as a quarterback. Because let me ask you, Scott, when is the last time that you've seen a quarterback throw for, what was it, 41 touchdowns? Okay, I got his stats right here. When's the last time you saw a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions? But wait, wait, wait. We're not done yet. We also have to add in 900 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. What the fuck are we doing?
No, you're from a stats perspective.
And you mean to tell me 3,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 picks is better?
You're looking at this. I'm gonna tell you what I told you all year. You're looking from a statistical perspective. If we're looking from a statistical perspective, in my opinion, I'm giving it to Saquon Barkley. But narrative plays a factor here. And with in every sport, not named Major League Baseball. This Major League Baseball just on stats, they don't care if you made the playoffs or not. Okay. Because Shohei got like 5. And he just started making the playoffs last year. So in the NFL, in the NBA, it is about narrative. And the narrative is it was Josh Allen's time because they had a better record.
And they had a better record by 1 game. 12 wins, 13 wins. Both.
If you have $1,000 and I have 999, in the words of Skewboy Q, that's not even a record no more.
No, honestly, I don't even think that's good enough. This is like if you had – I had $900, you had $1,000, but I also had a big fucking mansion and 6 Bentleys outside my house, and you're driving a Honda Accord. That's what this looks like. It's just, it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I don't think, and this is when I think everybody was like, you gave him the MVP? Because the thing is, now Josh Allen has pretty much the exact same stats this year, and no one in their right mind is going to give him MVP. It got to the point where like, oh, I guess we got to 4,000 yards passing, 40 touchdowns passing, almost 1,000 yards rushing. Lamar Jackson accounted for 5,000 yards last year. And even if you add in Josh Allen, you know what? I'm going to be fair to Josh Allen because Josh Allen does run. Does he run as much as Lamar? No. And does he get as many yards as Lamar? No, because he had 500 yards. But they say, you know what, bro? He did have 12 touchdowns. I'm like, damn, he had 12 touchdowns. So let's add on 28. Plus 10 equals what? 38 plus 2 more equals 40. So he accounted for 40 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson accounted for 45. Kiss my ass. Sorry.
But anyway, final thing. Just to make quick predictions. Do the Bears? What seed do you ultimately think the Bears are going to end up with?
They'll win the division, but it won't be number one, I don't think. Or if they win the division, would they be number one?
No, if they win a division, they have the 2 and at worst they have the 3 seed. They will be competing with Philly for who's gonna have that. But if we finish with the same record as Philly, we get the 2 seed because we have the tiebreaker because we beat them.
It might be shocking, but I think they're gonna win these last 2 games and be the number one. So I think they finish as 13-4, and the number one seed.
Yeah, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I think they win the next 2 games. I think that Seattle is going to lose one, if not both of those games. Because they don't – Seattle on the road is different than Seattle at home. And these final 2 games are on the road. Carolina's playing real well. Carolina's feeling himself. And, look, much props to Sam Darnold. I think, at worst, Sam Darnold is a really good quarterback. And from where he's come from, that I'm seeing ghosts, I will give him credit for even getting to this point. Having said all of that, if we reckon quarterbacks in the NFL playoffs currently, he's the second to last intimidating quarterback. I'm gonna put him over Bryce Young just because I still need to see a little more from Bryce. I think what Bryce is doing this year is really, really good. But I'm not gonna do that to Darnold. I'll put Darnold over Bryce, but I would take my chances. So I think at worst, I can see them losing the next 2 games, and I can see them going 1-1. But I truly feel like the Bears are on a mission. I believe that team believes now, because when you come back in ways that this team come back, they believe. And they believe everything Ben Johnson is selling. And I won't say my PTSD is fully gone. I don't think it'll be fully gone until they actually win a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So that will be fully. But I think I trust this team this year, as in – I will give them the benefit of the doubt until the final buzzer, because they have proven this year that they don't quit. So I think they're going to get the number one seed. I think they're going to get the number one seed, regardless they're in. So even worst case scenario, there's really nothing they can do to pissed me off this year.
No.
The only thing that was up on the table to piss me off is they would have missed the entire playoffs. They're in, right. So everything else that happened, I just want them to get as much juice out of this season as possible because next year the heat is on.
Right, and there's a version of this where if, let's say, we go to San Fran next week, and all of a sudden, oh, man, DeAndre Swift or DJ Moore just took a big hit. He's out for the game. It's part of it that goes pull everybody. Just take out of fear. Pull everybody.
I'm not pulling everybody, but I'm taking them out.
I would take Caleb out.
Just if somebody else got hurt?
If I saw DJ Moore get hurt, I would take Caleb out.
I'm not taking Caleb out.
That's how
I'm not taking Caleb out till they clinch the division. They clinch the division. That's when I would take him out. But I said this gives you more time for Rome and Luther. I'm not playing neither one of them until they are ready.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it, man. Anything else before we wrap this up?
No, man, that's a good episode. So, also, shout out to the Packers fans who are in here. I know Scott is going to try to just say fuck you, but hey, man, I'm glad you all came to chat with us, even if you all were trolling. Had a few bots in here, like literal bots, which was hilarious. People just saying hi. Appreciate you all for coming on because it can't be easy to watch your rival talk shit about you.
I'm not saying fuck y'all. I appreciate y'all watching, but I'm a participate in the banter back. That's all I'm saying. I appreciate people watching.
As long as time
is on the clock, we will win. That's how I feel about this thing.
Even Caleb said it during his press. What he said? Too much time. And that's what I started to think to myself.
Can I just say this one thing about the Kansas City thing that actually relates to the Bears? Because I just got this text in the group chat from Bang. By the way, I'm not going to hold you. We'll be going on today. It will be pre-recorded. It'll be live streamed at 5 o'clock. But if you in the chat, we're not on there. So you're talking to a pre-record. So that'll be going on today. But Bang sent me something in the chat. So this is from Kansas City. It approved. It officially got approved because the Kansas City Chiefs have a new stadium deal with Kansas City, Kansas. This is important to me because governments are not paying anymore. And I think I thought, 10 days ago, not 10 days, I thought a week ago that the Northwest Indiana was a bluff. I no longer think that after watching this Kansas City thing. So that's all I'm saying. So anyway.
I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah.
That's all I
got. So an agreement's in place for both.
Yes. So.
I would love to hear from those who are watching. Maybe you tweet me at Flo Zandolini. But if you know, what is the vibe between people who are in Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas? Moving the Chiefs from Kansas City, Missouri to Kansas City, Kansas, even though it's in the same metropolitan area, what do the fans feel? Do the fans feel, oh, this isn't the same, it's not the same thing? Because for me, the only thing I can think of, if we take the state equation out of it, the Bears moving from Chicago to Arlington Heights, it's like, it's annoying, but it's in the same metro area, so I don't really give a shit. Gary, it gets tricky because I'm like, ah, nigga, this is a different state entirely. It's still, now bear in mind, Gary, Indiana is part of Chicagoland because it's still Northwest Indiana, and then Northeastern Chicago. Like, so it's all the same metro area, but I'm still like, I wonder what's the feel like. It's like,
bro. That stadium could be on the moon. I just wanted to be a nice stadium. That stadium could be on the moon. The Jets and the Giants play in New Jersey. Now, granted, Jersey is close to New York, but that is still an hour and a half.
First off, this ain't a dumb question at all. No, but because they're moving from Kansas City, Missouri to Kansas City, Kansas, I'm assuming that'll still be Kansas City. They're still the Kansas City Chiefs. That's just our guess. Because Kansas City, Missouri are literally bordering each other. So it's the same
metric. I mean, but even then, like I just said, they're not called the Jersey Giants or the Jersey Jets, you know, right. And that's way farther than where Kansas City is in Kansas. At the end of the day, man, I understand fans want the teams to be in their city. I get it. But this is much bigger than sports. Like I said, I don't blame the Bears for this. I do blame the Bears for trying to negotiate in public. Don't get the fans involved in this. The Bears had so much great PR in the year 2025 that last week was unnecessary. Okay?
And so Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City City have the same metro area, same sports teams. So I doubt it's the same thing. But in terms of – I think this is someone like Kevin Warren who's not from Chicago doesn't understand the Chicago City Council, nigga, is essentially the mafia. It ain't gonna work. You can't
exactly
Niners play right. You cannot
bro. Niners are legit 2 hours away from San Francisco.
you cannot negotiate with the Bears, I mean, the city council, Chicago City Council, in the public. It won't happen. Like, it just ain't going to do it. The thing is that Mayor Johnson said that he had the, he said you've heard that he was kind of shitting on them. He was like, they talked a lot about Arlington, but you ain't seen no deal because the best one they have is with us. And it's probably the truth. The thing is that it may come down to George and the rest of McCaskey saying, man, we're going to have to give a stake away from this team. I get it. You're a mom pop team.
One of two things going to happen. Either you say, screw y'all, we building it in Northwest Indiana, which is number one. Or number two, like you said, you're going to have to sell a good amount of the team to have money to actually fund it yourself. Or stay in Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
Ted Phillips, you have blood on your hands.
Like I said, I understand Bears fans don't like it, but at the end of the day, if this coach and quarterback keep playing well and we enter another golden age of Bears football, that thing could be on Moron Mountain.
Right.
Nobody's gonna care.
Hammond, Gary, this shit is bordering us. Like, I don't, it sucks.
It's the same length as Arlington Heights. Gary closer to Arlington Heights.
Gary and Hammond are closer. So yeah. It's whatever, man. I just want them to get it done. I want them to have a new stadium. It does not necessarily.
I can throw my phone right now, and it's gonna land in Gary.
I forgot who one of the homies who even from Chicago, but he was commenting that dude who said Barrett Maher, Freddie Gibbs from Indiana, and he was like, "Nigga, you can spit and it would land in Gary." That's how close it is. So I mean, somebody who's from Hammond, Indiana, or Gary, Indiana, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be Bulls fans, Bears fans. Cubs fans, it baseball depends. But football and basketball, they're going to be Chicago fans. I mean, if Freddie Gibbs, shout out to Gangster Gibbs, Big Lord Freddie Gibbs. If you
look, Lord, them, come on the show, bro. Come on the show. Come on the show. You follow Joe. You probably don't remember me, but we done drank together multiple times in Los Angeles. Come on the show, all right? Come on. Everybody tweet Gibbs, tell him come on the show.
Somebody said, why don't they look for land more west? It is. It's a shit ton of land west. But it all comes down.
I'm not
going
to hold you live from the horseshoe.
It's my horseshoe casino?
Yeah.
He funny as hell. It all depends on the municipalities. Like, what are they offering them? It seemed like Arlington already had, because of the racetrack, had space for them that wouldn't require any other more. I don't see why they just can't put a foot over Soldier Field. The biggest issue is that, remember, Chicago, Chicago Bears do not own Soldier Field. In addition to that,
owe money from the crap renovations they did 25 years ago.
And also remember that the mayor doesn't have as much control over it because it's Park District, and that's a separate, and it's not like he's running it like a strong arm. It's an entity that does not truly answer to him. They have more autonomy. And so it's a very difficult thing. And also on top of that, Brandon Johnson is resolute.
Shout out to the black man. I don't think he's the best man, though. Huh? So shout out to the black man, but I don't think he's been the best man.
I think he's improved his reputation only because he's had someone like Trump to counter. You know, it's like when you're sterling silver. You're not platinum, but nigga, if you put shit next to it, you're like, damn, look at this silver.
He got the Trump.
Bro, Bobby, you are fucking, oh my goodness, nigga. Yes. The Park District is the mafia, dog. You can't get like, that field is terrible. They could at least put better grass. No, that's what they've done.
Yeah.
So,
Joe, you brought up a good point about Kevin Warren, because Kevin Warren put together my second favorite stadium, my third favorite stadium, really, US Bank Stadium, but Minnesota politics are nothing like Illinois politics. Like Illinois politics.
I don't know what was the deal. How much did that cost?
What?
The US Bank Stadium.
I have no idea how much it cost. It wasn't But see, like, everybody's like, oh, do what SoFi did. Do you know how much money Stan Kroenke has? The owner of the Rams? He owns the Rams. He owns the Denver Nuggets. He owns the Colorado Avalanche. And he owns Arsenal Football Club. And that's not including his other businesses. He probably got money by himself. Okay.
So
the Chicago Fire, they got their stadium. Remember they said the Bears should get that area in the South. Ooh. The Chicago Fire's new owner is not a broke boy. Okay,
right.
He's paying for that new stadium out of pocket.
What Stan? That's Stan Kroenke.
What the Rams owner? Yeah. He owns the Rams, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, and Arsenal.
Bear in mind, Stan Kroenke is worth $21.3 billion. And bear in mind, the McCaskies are worth about $1.3 to $1.7 billion. But I looked it off. And so Kevin Warren's essentially, to get my Minneapolis, they were playing at the, what you call it? Oh, my goodness. What were they playing? The Metrodome, right?
Yeah, you see that presence of the park, you just start swearing.
You. They were playing at the Metrodome, and essentially, I'm reading this article. He was able to have a nice little coalition of people who were ready to go along with it. He had state legislators in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He had the county, Hennepin County. He had Minneapolis people ready, and he had labor unions who were ready to go along with him. So he had all of those business leaders and politicians able to go with him. In addition to that, he pitched it as they were in a structurally outdated and collapsing building as the Metrodome. So he said, this is public safety, this is economic development, and this is infrastructure replacement, and that mattered politically. And so he split a tax funding model. So no taxpayers pay for everything. They just spread it around in responsibility. And when the window happened, when they had friendly legislators or fears losing the Vikings to another city, that's when they were able to do it. And the total cost was about $1.1 billion. $1.1 billion. How much did SoFi cost? Do you know?
SoFi was like $5 billion, I think.
Oh, and so,
I think it was $5 billion. Yeah.
And so $1.1 billion, I mean, that's billions apart, billions of miles apart. But the Bears' proposed stadium is, the whole development is around $5 billion, dog. That's a lot of fuck. The stadium itself is $2 billion.
And then, yeah, and Stan Kroenke built up the whole area. They got Hollywood Park over there. NFL got their own offices over there, too. And it's across that whole area because the Clippers, exactly. The Clippers, because even this, the for the Clippers to build into it, Steve Ballmer had to buy the farm for them to be able to allow the build over there. So a lot of this stuff is all positive. I just want to answer one question from Damon. He said, wouldn't it be smart and cheaper if the Bears played in the White Sox Stadium and the White Sox can move anyway? First of all, the White Sox will move over the MLB commissioner's dead body. Okay, like I know that the White Sox are a little brother, but they're still a Chicago team, and they're not allowing them to move into Charlotte, number one. Number two, they're not going to move out of the rate, whatever the name of the stadium is now, because Jerry Reinsdorf completely owns the building. So he's not going to get a new stadium and have to get in bed with somebody where he got to pay a lease. He owns. He has one of the best stadium deals in sports.
Yeah. And then you got to think about it. So we're looking at Stan Kroenke. We're looking at Steve
Ballmer. Do you guys think – do you think the guy make a good playoff run to change mind be harder now? They don't give a fuck what people want.
No. They don't. Part, the part is you don't – you have to – so the best way that the Bears can frame that – well, one, let's – I wanted to take it back to Steve Ballmer and Stan Kroenke. Steve Ballmer is worth $120 billion. And so obviously he's not the one footing the bill for it, but he is another smart business leader that is helping to get some changes going to allow those processes to happen. And that's a lot of money. That's like $150 billion. And I don't think the Bears have that sort of pool. And that's just the truth. He has to go through too many hoops within Chicago politics. And part of it, you have to go through the Park District. And
I'm going to put y'all on game, Joe. Something you just said about money. The Lakers didn't even have money to build a new stadium. Why? They've been wanting to get out of Staples Center for like almost a decade now. But that's why they sold the team to the owner of the Dodgers so they can eventually finance a newer stadium, because Staples Center is almost 30 years old now. So it's all about money and politics when it comes to these buildings.
Right. You know, sorry about the sneeze. And so the biggest issue is that Kevin Warren has to find a way to create this as an economic development for the Bears. Like, hey, we have to make sure that we're doing this for the city, because not only will Soldier Field not just be a simple building that's used during big concerts or Bears games, it's going to be a year-round thing. And what now he's dealing with is the Illinois General Assembly feels like it's a giveaway. Chicago and Springfield are fighting each other and not collaborating. And no one wants to give political ammo to either if you're a Republican, you don't want to give it to a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you don't want to give it to a Republican. And so infrastructure funding is radioactive. And the Arlington Heights deal has sort of poisoned the well. The Bears bought the land. Then the property tax fight came. Then the public threats. Then radio silence. And so if the Bears are already fighting over taxes, why trust any future projections?
And that's why people are blaming Kevin Warren for Ted Phillips' mistakes.
Right. And the $855 million infrastructure ask is just, yeah,
It only works when budgets are flexible, revenues are stable, and voters aren't angry. Right now, you have transit funding crisis, pension obligations, and just public skepticism about looming projects. And so it's difficult.
It's a lot. I'm glad we were able to talk about that because we didn't really get the chance to talk about that. So yeah. That's all we got because I got to record. I'm not going to hold you. Like I said, I'm not going to hold you. We'll be streaming at 5 p.m. Central Time on H&B Media, but it'll be H&B Media, Barber's Chair, and my YouTube with the new collab function they got on YouTube. So it'll be pre-recorded. So if you're in the chat on there, remember me, Dante, and Bang aren't actually on there live. It's pre-recorded. But the audio to this will be up by the end of the day. If you missed it, you can just replay the stream. I'll have that up before the day is over. Yeah, and I can't guarantee, we won't have a pod this weekend. We should because it's holidays, but we're going to do a pod next Monday or Tuesday, probably next Monday, as we get ready for the last week of the season. Might be NFC North champions by then. We will see. So for Scott and Flows, follow us at Barbershare Scott, at Flows and Delaney. All the links in the description box by YouTube, Patreon, all our Spotify, Apple, all those, all that good stuff. So we will holler at y'all, man. We up out of here.
This is Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we can love you way back from the beginning. Trust the source for the news. It's every night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. But trust the source for the news. It's every night for Hallis in your ears, you.
Awesome. The Bears.